I want you to turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. It says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. They consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth, wherefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanity. But fear thou God." Fear thou God. The Bible says, fear God and keep his commandments. And that the beginning of wisdom is that we fear God. Now, that doesn't mean that this is the earth or the knee shattering type of fear, but it's a reverential fear. The fear that we all ought to have, that when we come and serve the Lord, that we respect him, we worship him, we idolize him, and his will and his word is uppermost in our mind. A Presbyterian preacher preached a sermon entitled "The Way to Up is Down," used as his text, "He that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Well, in looking at areas of failure in our own Christian life, I'd like for us to consider this morning a similar phrase is found in our text, and that is, "The way to own is back." Have you ever had to go and maybe make something right before you advanced and went on? That maybe you'd done something you shouldn't have done, you said something you shouldn't have said, or something was not done and you had to go and correct it before you could move on. I think this is really what the writer here in Ecclesiastes is trying to tell us. You may remember the words of our risen Savior in the book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 5 when he told the church at Ephesus, "Repent, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and do the first works." He tells us that we are to remember and then to repent. I think all of us, if we would admit it this morning, would have to say that there have been times in our lives that we've had to remember from where we had slipped and we had fallen, and we had to repent. There's nothing wrong with repenting. You see, there's none of us perfect. And the Bible said that if any of us, you know, think that we are, the Bible says that we have been deceived and that we lie and the truth is not in us. So as a child of God this morning, we need to understand that we do make mistakes. We do sin. We ought not to, but we do. But we have an advocate with the Father in Jesus Christ, the righteous. If we sin, then we can confess our sins and find that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You remember God told Jacob, "Arise and go back to Bethel and dwell there." Now, in chapter 28 of Genesis, he had found that Bethel was the place where The angels ascended and descended upon that ladder. And he understood that this was the place of God's dwelling. This was God's house, and that's what Bethel is. Sometimes we have to go back to Bethel, the house of God, in order to get our way straight. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. This passage in Ecclesiastes deals with an aspect of our Christian experience with which we're all familiar. Namely, when we make commitments and promises to God. I'm going to ask you this morning, have you ever made a promise to God? We all have. Do you always keep them? I think if we'd admit it, we'd have to say, no, we don't always keep them. Well, this is what we're going to talk about this morning, our commitments and our vows to God. And I trust that each of us this morning, as we understand the will and the truth of God, and that's found right here in this book, the will of God is recorded in the book. There's nothing else to be added, nothing else to be taken away. It's all right here. And so we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. But he starts off by saying, when thou goest to the house of God, that's a good thing. Be not rash with thy mouth to utter anything before God. In other words, God will hold you and me accountable for the commitments we've made to him. Sometimes we think, well, it's just words. And I just, I was all excited and I made a commitment and a vow and it's just words. No, it's not to God. Be not rash with thy mouth. Reminds me of the restraints that Jesus imposed on would-be disciples in Luke chapter 14. And we find him, after stating the terms of discipleship and indicating that if these terms are not met, he plainly said, you cannot be my disciple. He said in chapter 9 of Luke, the very same thing. We live in a day when pastors, a lot of them, not all of them, thank goodness, but they make the terms of discipleship as easy as they possibly can in order that they might fill their church and church roles. But you know, when you fill the church roles, it's not always filling the kingdom's roles. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Note the circumstances under which we make our commitments and vows. Have you ever been in a tight? Have you ever been in a place in your life when you didn't know if you were going to make it or not? If you're in the army, maybe you were in that foxhole and bullets were whizzing around your ears and you prayed, God, if you'll just get me home. If you'll just get me safe back to my family, God, I will serve you. Or maybe at a time of sorrow and death and you make commitments to God that says, Lord, if you'll just help me through this, I'll serve you. Or maybe you're laying on a hospital bed and you really don't know if you're going to walk out or be carried out. And you promise, God, if you'll just give me health and healing, I'll serve you. I think all of us have made commitments. But you know, troubles can pass. You know, sometimes we pray, God, will you heal me and will you take care of me and will you work this thing out, whether it be financial or whatever. God, you work it out and I'll serve you. But then God does his part and then we back up and say, well, it all worked out. It all worked out. And we forget the commitment that we've made to God, but God doesn't forget. He marks it down. He marks it down. And with the passing of time, sometimes we forget the vows. I remember when I pastored in Star City, Arkansas, and we were running about 45, 50 people at the time, and this was my first church to pastor. I really didn't know exactly just everything that you needed to do, but I knew that you needed to work and you needed to care. I had two people went to the hospital. One of them had cancer, eating out his side. Last name was Manning. And I tried to get him to give his life to the Lord there in the hospital room, but he would not. He said, preacher, when I go home, I'm going to get better and I'm going to come to your church and I'll make things right with God. Well, you could smell the stench of rotting flesh as that cancer was eating out through the side of his rib cage. He died and, as far as I know, never made things right with God. Had good intentions. He made a vow. And then there was another lady, and Phil remembers this one as well, Odessa McElroy. He used to sit by her, and he'd act up, and she'd grab him and pinch him. And he learned obedience right there by Odessa. But she told me, said, preacher, she had a heart attack. She didn't know if she was going to make it or not. And she said, preacher, if God will just heal me and get me out of here, I'll serve him. Well, God did heal her. And I'm telling you, she started coming to church, and she'd come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. She got a good dose. And she served the Lord all of her life. I had left the church, but they called me back in order to preach her funeral. It's amazing, the vows and the commitments and the difference. Under the stress of some strong emotions, we make vows, don't we? Have you ever been in revival service or maybe a heightened awareness type service when you felt the power of God so mightily in your life and you committed to God, I will serve you? But you went home. And the excitement died off, and you forgot the commitment that you made to God. But God didn't forget. He didn't forget. You see, the emotions, it's not enough for the emotions to be stirred. The mind must be informed, and the will must become obedient. The entire body must be involved in making commitments to God. It can't be just emotions. The results. Notice the quality of the discipleship the master secured. This is noted in the disciples. The Bible tells us about those individuals that God called, 12 of them. One of them slipped out and went the wrong way, but one came in and replaced him. But they were given the job to witness to all the world. And what a job they did. In Thessalonica, they were described by the enemies as those that turned the world upside down. They're come here also. Wouldn't it be nice to be known as a church here in Roland Modro area that the Cornerstone Free Will Baptist Church is, they're turning the community and the world upside down for Christ. They really believe what they believe. And they practice what they believe. You can have big days, and boy, it looks great when you see all those folks come in. But you know, we've got to get them back. We've got to help them to make heaven their home. And if we don't care enough to do that, then who is going to help them? Because I'm telling you, all you got to do is look at that paper, and I look at it every day. You know, I look at the front page, the sports page, the obituary page. People are dying. They're leaving here. God is looking for better men and women, young men and young ladies, in order to serve him. He's not looking for better methods, just better people. You know, the Japanese, a number of years ago, when you would see that Made in Japan label, you wouldn't buy it because you knew it was cheap. It wouldn't last. It wouldn't hold up. And they realized that if we're going to have a positive effect on the world market and sell our goods, then we have got to have quality. That has to be a number one priority. Now then, you look at their computers, you look at their cars, their televisions, quality. They learned their lesson. What is the quality of goods that the world sees in the shop windows of our own lives? What do they see? What do they see? Does not the Bible say we're living epistles read of all men? Yes, it does. Living epistles read of all men. We're the only Bible that most folks will ever read. We need to give them the clear version by living a good life in front of them. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Two comments are noted, and we'll close. There is no greater tragedy than this, that thou shouldest not vow. Isn't it amazing that folks can come to church Sunday after Sunday and hear the gospel preached and make no response? Make no response. Individuals that come to church and they hear the gospel preached, they feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, but they make no response. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. God will do everything that love can to get the response of obedience and faith. The Holy Spirit will strive with a man. Truth will be given, circumstances provided, but all to no avail. Let me share this with you in closing. There was a fellow that was a collector of rare bird eggs. And on this particular cliff in Scotland, the cliff jutted out, and then back beyond, down below, there was a ledge, and there was where the bird nest was at. He wanted to be able to collect those rare bird eggs. So he got a rope, and he let it down the side, and he kind of shinned down, and then he began to swing. And he swung all the way over to the ledge, and in his excitement, he let loose of the rope. Now, he knew the rope will only come back close to me one time. One time. If I don't get the rope then, no more chances. So when that rope came back, he jumped out and grabbed the rope. And he climbed to safety. God's rope may be within your reach this morning, but it too could be the last chance that you'll ever have. The word for you today is simply jump. Get a hold of the rope by faith and make heaven your home. We vow, we commit, but God wants us to follow through. He records. He records that which we vow and commit. God help us to be faithful to do what he wants us to do. It's not that he doesn't want us to vow. He does. He just wants us to do what we say and commit to him we're going to do. Will you bow with me for prayer?